The content in this audio recording provides general information. However, it does not substitute legal advice or opinion. This information is best used in conjunction with legal advice from an experienced member of our team. Children's rights to see both parents. In 2006, changes were made to legislation relating to parenting arrangements, and what is now known as equal shared parental responsibility was introduced into the Family Law Act. Unfortunately, a misconception arose around this. People assumed that equal shared parental responsibility meant equal time. What the term equal shared parental responsibility really means is that all duties, powers, and authority that parents have in relation to making long-term decisions concerning their child or children are shared equally between both parents. As family lawyers, it is not uncommon for us to be asked about the children's rights to see their parent or a mother or a father's legal rights to see their children. The overarching principles when considering parenting under the Family Law Act is what is in a child's best interests. It is not about the rights of parents. The Act aims to ensure that children can enjoy a meaningful relationship with each of their parents and are protected from harm. Parents are to spend equal time with the child only where both parents can agree to this arrangement, or the court finds that equal time is in the best interests of the child and is the most suitable arrangement. To understand how family law works in relation to children's rights to see both of their parents, we will explore what the two-limb test is. We will also cover some considerations for you as you and your child's other parent establish your child-focused parenting arrangements. What is the two-limb test? The two-limb test is what the court must consider as a requirement when contemplating an equal time arrangement. One limb, if you like, is that the arrangement is in the child's best interests. The second limb is that the arrangement is reasonably practicable. Under the Act, there are two primary considerations in determining what would be in a child's best interest. Firstly, is that your child has a right to have a meaningful relationship with both of their parents. Secondly, it is that a child must always be protected from harm and/or being subjected to abuse. Abuse includes physical or psychological abuse, neglect, family, and domestic violence. The courts have regard to a further 14 factors which are set out in the Family Law Act. Not all 14 factors will be relevant to every circumstance, and no particular factor carries more weight than the other. This is because no two families are the same, and no two children's best interests are the same. Some of the factors include any views expressed by the child, the nature of the child's relationship with their parents, whether a parent has taken or failed to take up opportunities concerning parenting decisions or time, the impact of any changes in a child's circumstance, the capacity of a parent to meet a child's needs, and family violence, to name a few. The court will only have regard to which of the 14 factors are relevant to the needs of each individual child and family. When the outcome of a child's best interests is not that of an equal time arrangement, the next tier of time that the court considers is what is called substantial and significant time. Substantial and significant time is where the parents of a child are spending time with the child during the week, on weekends, special occasions, and school holidays. The idea is that each parent is substantially involved in all aspects of the child's life. Even in substantial and significant time arrangements, the test applies as the court must take into account what is in the best interests of the child and that the arrangement is reasonably practical. What What does reasonably practical mean in family law? As mentioned earlier, when the courts are determining if an equal time arrangement would be in the best interests of a child, they also consider if the arrangement would be reasonably practical. Let's say, for example, a child is attending school and one parent lives a significant distance from where the child attends school. If that meant the child being woken at 5 a.m. and travelling by car or public transport for 2 hours to school, the court would have to look at that and determine if that is reasonably practical. This would impact the parenting arrangements during the week. In Brisbane, for example, up to half an hour to 40 minutes might be considered a workable commute. When travel time is over 40 minutes or longer, that is when it will be questioned if a shared parenting arrangement that involves that much travel is practical day to day. Equal time parenting arrangements. An equal time parenting arrangement typically requires a high level of communication between both parents to ensure that there is flow and continuity for the child when transitioning between the two homes. Often there are times when parents are advised by a child's school that something is required at short notice. For instance, being given notice on the Monday that on the Friday the child is attending a sporting carnival and requires a new green shirt. As co-parents, you must be able to communicate to ensure that the child can be supported in ways like this when the child is moving between the two homes. Depending on the level of tension between parents, it will be considered how issues like this will be managed and how they will be reflected in the parenting arrangements. The court can be quite critical if parents cannot clearly and concisely communicate in an amicable way without putting the child in a position where they are having to pass messages between them. Elements like this tie back into whether an equal time arrangement is in the best interests and also reasonably practical for the child or not. Parenting arrangements that involve the family court. Sometimes people cannot reach an agreement between themselves about how to determine parenting arrangements. This is why early family law advice is important to aid negotiations and avoid the court process. However, sometimes that is not possible, and in parenting matters, it remains a requirement of the court that a Section 60I certificate is required to commence any court proceedings. That certificate indicates that you have been through dispute resolution to mutually agree on a decision or a compromise, but were unable to come to an agreement. All applicants are now required to attempt dispute resolution unless they meet one of the exemptions, such as where there has been family violence. There is a greater focus from the court to encourage parents to try to reach an agreement without the court having to make a decision. Do mothers have more legal rights than fathers? There is often a perception of some parents that courts have a preference for making orders favouring a mother's legal rights over a father's legal rights to see their children. This is not reality. A child's legal rights to see one parent are equal to any child's legal rights to see the other parent. There is no part in the Act that says a mother has greater rights than the father. The Family Law Act talks about the child's best interests and that the child has a right to have a meaningful relationship with both parents. Society is changing, workplaces have changed, and family dynamics have changed. It is no longer the case where mum stays home and dad works. Perhaps previously, when one parent would be doing a commute to and from work, the other parent would be doing the school pickup or drop-off. With the change in working arrangements in recent years, parents' days may have been restructured and they have freed up that time. This is taken into consideration when looking at the practical aspect of parenting arrangements. Consideration for parents. There is no prescribed table of information anywhere that says if you have children aged 2 and 6, this is what must happen. Every arrangement is determined by the individual circumstances of that family. That is why it is so important for parents to seek advice from an experienced family lawyer. We see it can be hard for one or both parents to put aside their issues with the other parent and focus entirely on the children's best interests when it comes to determining parenting arrangements. Investigate what could work between you both. Consider perhaps what already exists for your child and their current routine. What hours you do and the other parent works. And what are the child's extracurricular activities and how they can be maintained. At this point, it is important to note that children do not get a say necessarily in the final arrangement. Courts may take into consideration a family report and consultations with family consultants if that has occurred, but the children's views and wishes are only one of the many factors in determining what is in a child's best interests. Protecting your children from these adult issues should be the main priority for any parent. It is important not to criticize the other parent around the child and not to pressure children to make decisions about their own care. Typically, children love both parents, and this kind of behavior can put them in a situation where they feel they must choose, and this is damaging long term. We see that people tend to underestimate how important it is to get legal advice at the earliest opportunity, under the assumption that by doing so, it indicates that you plan to go to court. I cannot stress enough that seeing a family lawyer does not necessarily mean that. What it does mean, though, is that you will have a much better understanding of the options you have, and you will have a lot more information to assist you in the process. You may decide that the best method of dispute resolution pathways for you is mediation. If you go down this pathway, you still need to seek legal advice to talk about your specific circumstances and the ages of your individual children. There can be significant benefits from engaging professional assistance before embarking on this process. It is always best to have specialist advice and insights before you act.